Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to provide you with biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Huizinga. Whether you're listening here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. Friends, when we discuss the relationship of our faith to the real world, how often do we still refer to our secular jobs or our secular activities? We say that Jesus is Lord of all, but we continue to talk and think in ways which demonstrate a lingering suspicion that there are certain areas of life in which God is not really that interested or involved. Whether because of our own perspective or because of growing public pressure on believers to keep their faith in its place, we persist in living as though some parts of life are sacred and some are not. And to an ever-increasing degree, our public life is seen to be some sort of spiritually neutral territory, and the sacred is relegated to private spaces and specifically religious gatherings. In our conversation with returning guest Dan Kleitz, we explore a different perspective, one in which the redeeming power and lordship of Jesus Christ really does lay claim to all of life, abolishing the sacred-secular divide. The kingdom of God does not allow for multiple citizenships or competing allegiances. Either Jesus is Lord, or he's not. In everything, the God of the Bible simply refuses to politely stay in some religiously assigned, socially or politically appropriate box. Everything, everywhere, belongs to him. It's all sacred. Well, we have a returning guest today, Dan Kleitz. Dan, welcome back to Marketplace Kingdom.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Very glad.
Well, Dan, to start us off today, when we met the last time, one of the statements that you made that was one of my takeaways, and everybody hears a conversation in their own way, one of the takeaways that I came with was a statement you made that we should be living a questionable life.
Mm-hmm.
A life that raises questions in those around us about why we are the way we are. And it opens up opportunities for conversation, opportunities to share the gospel based on how we conduct our lives in the real world. We talked the last time about the Seven Mountain Model, or Seven Sphere Model, for understanding advancing the kingdom in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting folks out of their seats and into the streets, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you were working to make that understanding a key part of the DNA of the churches that you're working with and raising up.
Yes, we are.
And that's built in from the ground up. So can you tell us a little bit more about what that looks like for you and the folks you're working with?
Well, I think I talked earlier about, and I really believe in the power of Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. It's an outline that Jesus had been downloaded from God into him, and now he turns around and downloads it into his disciples. He didn't just say, now go and make it happen, but he had gathered them together and said, you know, let's do some training and some equipping and some encouraging. He didn't say that literally, but you know it had to happen. But he also didn't say, let's just sit here and enjoy each other's company and have a worship service, and when we're all done, go back home, have lunch, and watch football. He was a sense of, it is like football in a way, because he's in the locker room, and he's reminding them of everything that he's already been teaching them, modeling for them, mentoring to them, coaching them over the weeks, like a good football coach would do. And then he reminds them of who they are, reminds them of what they've been working on, and then he sends them out saying, you guys are going to win. You guys are going to win because I am the power behind you. And so when they're launched like that, the first thing they're thinking of is how to create a different atmosphere, something where they have the home field advantage. And that's why Jesus says, I want you to speak peace. I want you to be a blessing and not a blaster, which is what we oftentimes do. We blast things. We put things down. And in a way, we're just kind of ruining our own possibilities when we do that. Because we can't transform anything until we ourselves have been transformed. And so when you create that kingdom mentality, that kingdom culture, and now he sends them out to practice it, they come back to the destination, the church building, if you will, and say, man, Lord, that worked so well. Even the demons submitted to us in the power of your name. And so there is a purpose for the destination called the church building, the facility, or Sunday morning. But the whole point of that is, after you gather, is to be re-encouraged, retrained, refocused, re-mentored, re-coached, and sent back out, because that's where the real power is at. That's where the real fun is at. And I think oftentimes as Christians, we miss that. We think everything is inside the church on a Sunday morning, and then it just kind of falls out our backside as we leave the building. That's the shame. That's why the church sometimes is not seen as the power source that it really is, because people say, well, you know, it works fine on a Sunday morning, but after that, nothing happened. And that's what we're talking about, living a questionable life, where when you live a life where people say, where's the hope that you have? You seem to have a different attitude. Your values are different. Your worldview is different. Your beliefs are different. Your priorities are different. They may not use those words, but in a sense, that's what they're expressing. Are you ready to say, well, you know, here's the priority of the world. Here's the value of the world. Here's the worldview, but here's a kingdom worldview. And this is why I choose to live into this. And I'm thoroughly convinced that, again, as we practice Luke 10, blessing, speaking peace, developing relationships so people get to know us and trust us, so we don't come across as judgmental or, you know, freaky religious types, that we're able to heal the sick. We're able to speak into people's lives. In fact, they'll ask us to speak into their lives. And then Jesus says, look around. This is what the kingdom of God is like.
So is it possible that that when we enter into a home, that we can actually be strange and yet be accepted? What is it that would draw people toward us?
Well, certainly when you enter someone's home, it's generally because they've invited you, right?
Yeah.
And they've invited you because that strange thing has been taken away. Maybe you've been meeting at work or at some other club, something on the outside. You're developing that trusting relationship. So the next intimate thing is, hey, why don't you come over to my house for dinner? And the last thing you want to do is be strange. But I think intriguing is what you do want to be. Intriguing. Because, you know, strange, stranger. We had that stranger danger thing going on. We don't want to be around that. But I think when people smell like freshly baked bread in the morning because they hang around with Jesus all day, that's not a strange thing. That's a welcoming thing. I want that. I want that invited into my home.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering also, bringing healing. Dan, as churches and as churches all over the United States and in the organization you represent, honestly, does the church bring healing into the world around? And do we even have a clue of what it means to go into the marketplace with the power of heaven for healing?
That's a great question. And if you want to be bluntly honest, we're not doing so well at that. You know, we're living in, you mentioned organization. I think that's part of the problem, because organizations are come to us and receive. So the ultimate goal is to get inside the facility. Well, as I recall, Jesus didn't do a whole lot of healing inside the temple. He did most of his actions outside in the daily marketplace. And so we got to break away from come to us and jump into a program and feed the program and support the organization, and instead go from the organism is there to bless you, to give you what you need to live out in the marketplace. It's a complete paradigm shift. And the difficult, Dave, as you pointed out, is that we haven't been teaching, preaching, or modeling this for decades. So those who call themselves church right now are in a sense trapped in a Christendom mentality that does not work anymore. And so we're only going to attract the people that are attracted to our religious clubs or our programming, which is like 99% of the people are not anymore. So we have to take on that mentality of we're sent rather than we just come in.
Say, Don, in our last podcast, we made a podcast last week that Dan was not part of. We discussed a number of people all across the world that have been writing in or telling us stories about being strangers in the marketplace and bringing the presence of the Holy Spirit into the world around them. And these listeners all over the world today, we want you to know that you do not need to be discouraged. You are not alone. There are nurses bringing Jesus Christ into hospital rooms, quietly praying. There are doctors praying over every one of their patients. There are businessmen sitting in their boardrooms waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak before they make the next business decision. There are university administrators praying over the curriculum in the United States, ready to determine what God desires rather than what is being dictated to them. So healing maybe happens in a society way as well as personally and physically. Don, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was thinking several of our past guests have talked about actually hearing from God.
Yes.
Not about ways to necessarily insert their morality. It's not a Taliban type of an influence where they beat people into submission in some way, shape, or form.
It's the peace.
But it's to come peacefully, to yep. come in a spirit of compassion and encouragement in the context of the marketplace, but also actually hearing from God about how to do what they do professionally and expecting to receive ideas that are fresh and innovative and answers to key questions that they're struggling with or things they're trying to develop in their research, and seeing their influence expand in their particular field of endeavor. And yet, the flip side of that is that we've released some information in some of our written materials where we've pointed out some Gallup research from the yes. past couple of years showing that a huge percentage of people who call themselves born again, either evangelicals, Reformed folks, even Catholics who identify with the need for a born-again experience. Folks who identify as born-again, this Gallup research shows that an incredibly small number of those folks, it's like 20%, have anything even vaguely resembling a biblical worldview. And Gallup put out some tenets, some ideas of what would constitute a basic biblical worldview. And it was a very thin set of criteria.
Yeah, it was uncanny.
Yeah. And tied right into that was research showing that a huge percentage of Christians can't recall having heard any teaching about the relationship between their faith and their professional field anytime within the last 3 years.
Now, this is America.
This is here in the U.S.
Right. So
and most millennials, like 90%+,
the vast majority
of millennials were shown to have no idea how their faith and their professional field of endeavor were related to one another or could be related to one another. No idea at all. 90%. So how do we bridge that? How do we encourage that kind of broad notion of hearing from God, not just for personal spiritual stuff, but God cares about how you do business. God cares about downloading innovative ideas, about problem solving in all these different fields.
Well, Dan and I are sitting in a city south of Minneapolis, mm-hmm. In the Twin Cities area, St. Paul, Minneapolis. And our listeners probably have no idea what that's like, but it's a gorgeous area. It is frozen more than any other part of the world, longer than any other part of the world, but or the inhabitable world, I should say. But it is also a place where Christianity has a long history, but has lost its vibrancy. So there are many, many institutional Christians, and many who would never want to ever say that they aren't born again, but believe there are many ways to heaven. They go to church at Christmas, and they participate in other spiritual things. In fact, research shows that the Twin Cities region has more covens and satanic groups registered with the government than any other metropolitan area in the United States, more than California.
That's true.
And it's because there is religion without intimacy with Christ and an understanding of the Word of God. The church is lost. So if we will look at a test case, we will look at an area that those statistics that you read about to be true, it's right here. Recently, talking with a hospice nurse who sits with patients every day, 5, 6, 7 patients a day who are near the end of their lives and helping them work through those issues. This nurse says that the vast majority of her patients say they are Christians. The vast majority of her patients have no clue of how to get into heaven. She was with a family that goes to church every week, just this past week, goes to church every week, and she told the story of how they had a witch come. These are people that go to an institutional large church in Minneapolis every week. They had a witch come so that that witch could push the one who was going to die into the afterlife and push their spirit into the afterlife. They didn't invite their pastor. They saw that was useless, but they call themselves Christians. So anyway, there's a sickness. There's just a sickness in the region we're in. And if all you have to be is excited about Jesus and you're strange, but you're not only strange in the marketplace, and it's starting to work its way from this region to other regions in the United States, you're strange in your own church. This is why I'm excited about a guy like Dan, who is working with Lutheran churches in the LCMC, Lutheran churches with the Mission for Christ across the United States, encouraging churches to become missional. So, Dan, talk about that word missional and why that's important, what that looks like.
Well, oftentimes churches will say, we want to do a mission. And I go, no, you don't want to do a mission. You want to be the mission.
Be the mission.
You are the mission. I like to have a little fun with wordplay sometimes, and the Latin word that we use for mission is missio. It's missional, missionary. It means to be sent out, to be deployed, to be commissioned out. It's where we also get the English word missile. And then I'll say, well, what are missiles designed to do in the kingdom of the world? and they are designed to be sent out, commissioned, targeted, to blow something up, to destroy something, to kill it. And I go, well, likewise, we are called to be sent out like Jesus was sent out. As the Father has missioed me, so now I light a fire, the Spirit under you, and send you out.
Yes.
And, but to blow up what? People. No! we blow that all the time. We're going to blow up people groups. We're going to show them. While Ephesians talks about our battle is not against flesh and blood, but we are in a battle. It's against the principalities of darkness. So what are we called to do? Blow up spheres of darkness, areas that you were talking about before about trusting witches over the word of God. I mean, it's like darkness has come on some folks and taken over their whole mind, and they're no longer in Christ, but they're in something else, and they're dabbling in the wrong areas. They're wasting their lives. So I always say that's what mission is. It's to be deployed. Our churches are not to be destinations. They are to be training centers or missile building centers, if you will, and to be deployed out. That is where you can do the damage against the devil. He could care less if you get together on a Sunday morning, pack the place out, have great worship, prayer, confession of your sin, hear the gospel, just so long as you do not take it into the marketplace. Now, that's where he gets upset, and he's going to throw some things at you. So what we also want to do is help our people develop softer hearts and thicker skin. Because when the devil throws something at you, too often we become offended by that. And I go, get over that, man. You have a soft heart for people and a thick skin against the devil's ways of trying to knock you down. That's what a mission is. I get up and I walk by faith, right over the top of fear. Or as in Jesus talks about in Luke 10, I walk right over the top of scorpions, things that normally I think would consume me, or they're just barking dogs if I'm walking in Christ. Perhaps, David, what our struggle is, as a culture, is that divide that we've created between sacred and secular. Because we say, well, that's sacred music. No, that's secular music. That's a sacred place. No, that's a secular place. And we forget that Christ died for all things. For God so loved the world that he died for all things. The business sector, the government sector, the education sector, the entertainment sectors. He died for all things to come under him. So when we don't come under him, it's sinful. So how about this? There is no such thing as sacred and secular, but sacred and sinful, either of God or not of God. It tears down that wall of what I do on Sunday morning in the church is holy, in a holy place, versus it's a sending place to be holy in Christ, and to every place I go, I bless and I speak peace. I push back darkness. I missile out the darkness. And then suddenly now you see your job as your opportunity to be a pastor in that sphere of influence. We don't even talk about that. There's another thing where we elevate the pastors so much. We ought to look at our pastor positions as working side by side, so we become a 1-2 punch. The temple guy is important to equip the marketplace guy, and vice versa, so we can become a 1-2 punch on the devil.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll be back next week. So until then, I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Heisinger.
You're in our prayers. Be blessed. You've been listening to It's All Sacred, a conversation with Dan Kleitz. This and other episodes of Marketplace Kingdom are available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Other resources are also available for free download at our global ministry website, sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. That's sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. Costs for our ministry activities and podcast are covered by the generous support of listeners just like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or to find out how you can have one of us as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. And if you want to catch up or binge listen to past episodes, they can still be accessed at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. And be sure to share Marketplace Kingdom with your friends. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. That's all for today. So until next time, remember, you are important to Jesus and to His kingdom, right where you are.